reading the Word of God, which is our custom here. Judges 5. We'll read a few verses this morning and get right into the preaching. If you enjoyed the singing today, say amen. It's good to be saved. Judges 5. It is a song of Deborah. Deborah was a judge to the nation of Israel. She was the fifth judge. Here the nation of Israel had been held captive for 20 years. They had fought great battles. God had given them deliverance. So here we find this song that Deborah sang. The Bible says in Judges 5 verse 1, "Then sang Deborah and Barak the son of Abinoam on that day, saying," this is a good way to start out singing, "Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. Hear, O ye kings, and give ear, O ye princes. I will sing unto the Lord, and I'll sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. Lord, when thou wentest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, the earth trembled, the heaven dropped, the clouds also dropped water. The mountains melted from before the Lord, even that Sinai from before the Lord, the God of Israel. In the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, the days of Jael, the highways were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose, that I arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods. Then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or a spear seen among 40,000 in Israel?" You see, that's one tactic of the enemy. They would take and disarm the people of God. You'll notice there was 40,000 of them, that their weapons had been taken away. So the Bible said in verse 9, "My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Speak ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way. They that are delivered from the noise of archers and the places drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of the villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. Awake, awake. Deborah, awake, awake. Utter a song. Arise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam." Verse number 28. Here the Bible says, and I've never preached out of this text verse, but the Bible says, "And the mother of Sisera looked out at a window and cried through the lattice, 'Why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariot?'" You may be seated this morning. Father, we bless you. We thank you that you are a God that fights our battles. Thank you, you are a God that was interested in us enough that you sent your son to the old rugged cross. Lord, I want to thank you for this new family that is join this assembly, this body of the called out ones washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Thank you, Lord. I pray that the blessings of God would be about this congregation today. God, you'd protect us and help us and add to us as that you see fit. Now I pray, Lord, that the Spirit of God would help me in these last days and moments of preaching, that of how and when to exalt the precious Son of God. And we'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything. In Jesus' name I pray, and I ask you today, amen. and amen. You'll notice here that the children of Israel were held captive. God had sent a judge to deliver them. You'll notice that they had a song to sing. And within this song, while it was being sung, there was a mother that was looking for her son. The Bible said in verse 28, the mother of Sisera looked out at a window and cried through the lattice, "Why is this chariot so long in coming? Why tarry the wheels of his chariot?" It looks like to me, and it reminds me today, that somebody was looking for the return of the Son. I want to say something, that Jesus is coming back. You used to hear years ago many men of God that preach heaven real, hell hot. The return of the Lord, sure. And this morning I'm going to tell you, according to the pages of the Word of God, and I still believe the Word of God, from cover to cover, I believe the Word of God. He said that Jesus is coming. You'll notice, why is Christ so long in coming? Why does the wheels of his chariot tarry? I'm reminded as we look out the windows of life, we say, "Lord, hurry up and get here. I wonder why the wheels of your chariot are tarrying." And this morning there's three thoughts that I'd like to share with you about the return of Christ. First of all, within this text, you'll notice there's a desire for the return. Then secondly, there is a delay in the return. Then thirdly and lastly, there is a declaration in the return. Now you'll notice in this passage, in verse number 28, the desire of his return, there was great anticipation. There is this mother looked out the window for her son. Can I tell you that Christ is the bridegroom, and the church is the bride, and the church is the mother to those that are saved? I'm glad we got a Father this morning. And he sits upon his throne, high and holy. And can I bring this representation to the body of Christ this morning on this thought? She was looking for the Son to return. If there's ever been a day and an hour when God's people need to be looking toward the eastern sky and realizing that the Lord Jesus is soon to come, you'll notice there's the desire of his return. She says this in the text. Why? You'll notice there's a dilemma in her life. In other words, why are you tarrying? Why is it so long? Have you ever wondered why the Lord is tarrying in this wicked world that we live in? You'll notice there is a dilemma. Why? But then there is a despair. She looked out the window and cried. I wonder, do you ever look out the window in despair and cry and say, "Lord, I don't know why you're not here yet, but I know you're coming, because the Bible said you was coming." And there was this dilemma that she found herself in. There was this despair she found herself in. But there was this description that she told us in this passage, again, as the mother looking for the son. Now, first of all, there's the desire of the return. There's a anticipation. Is anybody looking for the son? We think a lot of times, well, my goodness, preacher, this is 2019, soon to be 2020. Do you really believe that the Lord is going to return? I believe it with all of my heart. Because there's the desire of his return, there's great anticipation. Let me tell you, children of God, we ought to anticipate the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a better day coming. I enjoy life. Thank God the Lord saved me one day. I've been blessed with a family. I've been blessed with friends. I've been blessed with a church. But honey, let me tell you, there's coming a day when every knee is going to bow. And we're going to leave out of this sin sick world. And we're going to heaven to live with the Father and with the Son while the ages roll on. We're going where there's never no night there. There's no weeping there. There's no crying there. There's no pain there, for the former things are passed away. I'm looking in great anticipation for the one that said he would return. He's soon to come back. And thank God I'm ready to go on my journey. Thank God I'm ready to go. In great anticipation, I'm looking for the Lord to return. You'll notice there was a desire of his return, anticipation. But there was in this text a delay of his return. There was anxiety. You'll notice now in this delay of his return, there's a significance in his delay. Let's look in the Gospels real briefly today, Matthew 24 and 32, on this delay of his return. Matthew chapter number 24, verse number 32. The Bible simply tells us this. Now, learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender, putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer's nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Talking about the delay of his return. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered in the ark. Let me tell you, honey, the laughing stopped that day. Hey, they talked about that old crazy loud preacher for 120 years. Has he lost his mind? It's never rained. He said, let me tell you, there's a storm coming, and God's provided an ark, and you better get you and your family in the ark while the getting's good. Let me tell you, honey, God is delaying and tarrying in his coming this morning. So he says, and they knew not until the flood came, took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. There shall two be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready. Are you ready this morning? Be ye ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. You see, in the delay of this return, there's a significance in the delay. God is doing things that we know nothing about. God is on his throne, and he's not taking orders from anybody this morning. God is working things out for his honor and his glory. And within this delay of his coming, we see this significance, the things that are going to pass. But secondly, not only the significance of the delay, let's look at the signs of the delay. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 1, the signs in the delay. 2 Timothy 3 and 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. That word perilous means unstable, tossed. He says perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded. Boy, here we are this morning, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. For this sword they which creep into houses lead captive, silly women laden with sins, led away with different lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further. Their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, Paul said, is purpose, faith, long suffering, charity, or his love and patience, persecutions and afflictions which came to me at Antioch and Iconium at Lystra. With persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers, watch this, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of knowing whom thou hast learned them. That from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise, which are able to make thee wise in the salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, reproof, and correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. This morning the delay in his return, she says, why, Lord? Why isn't the son here yet? Why is the wheels of his chariot tarrying? There is the delay of his return, this significance of delay, the signs of delay. The Bible said that it would wax worse and worse. And let me tell you, I don't know where that candle is and burning, but you better be sure one thing, it's waxing away this morning. If we had a candle on this platform and we lit it and we let it burn all day, you'd see the wax that had protruded from that candle. This old world is not only winding down, but it's waxing down this morning. And he says, you know something? You that are smart, said, you really don't even need a weatherman. You can look at the signs of the times. You know, about 4 weeks ago, I was up in East Tennessee, and I noticed the leaves start to turn. You know what? That told me fall was coming. I came back down the foot of the mountain, and here in our area, nothing had turned. But I left, and I came back, and it looked like the total landscape had changed. All these leaves that are turning. And yesterday, I looked at all the leaves that were falling. You know what that's telling me? There's a time that's changing. It's letting me know fall, winter is near. When we look in our Bible and we see all these things happening, you know what that ought to notify us about? The Lord is soon to appear. And so this morning, as this Bible character looks out the window and she looks through that lattice and she's wondering why the son is not there yet, we see the desire of his return. It was great anticipation. The delay of his return, there's great anxiety. You see, there's the significance in his delay. God's doing things that we know nothing about. God is saving people that's going to be reached. And let me tell you this morning, if you've never been saved by the grace of God, God's interested in you today. God's so interested in you that He sent His Son on a cross and died for you individually. Jesus didn't die for a group. Jesus died for individuals. Jesus died to get you out of hell. I've heard people say, well, preacher, let me ask you this. A God of this Bible that expresses Himself as a God of love, how can He put me in hell? You put your own self in hell by rejecting what God's put for you on the cross through that of His Son to grant you eternal life this morning. So God has been so good to us in this delay of His return, giving folks an opportunity, giving people a chance to hear the gospel as the gospel goes out. So here we see this significance in the delay, the signs of the delay. But look at 2 Peter 3 and 1. Look at the scoffers of the delay. The scoffers, 2 Peter 3. It's always been scoffers. It's always been people that would talk about the people of God. If you're going to be a Christian this day and hour, you better have some thick skin about you. 2 Peter chapter number 3. In verse number 1, Peter says this second epistle, Beloved, I now write unto you in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words that were spoken before by the holy prophets and the commandments of us, the apostles, the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, or teachers walking after their own lusts, false teachers, and saying, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved in the fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. This morning, the delay in His return. There's the significance of His delay. God's doing things. God's working out His plans. There is the signs of the delay, the signs of the times. There's the scoffers of the delay. Those are saying, are you kidding me? Do you really believe Jesus is coming back? I sure do. And lastly this morning, why is Christ so long in His coming? There's the desire of His return, the delay of His return, but lastly today, there's a declaration of His return. Jesus is coming. Have you heard that? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. You see, we know that because of the Lord's pledge. Look in John 14 today. John 14, the declaration of His return. We see the Lord's pledge. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am there, you may be also. Verse 6, Jesus said unto him, or Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's one way to heaven this morning. That's by the Lord Jesus Christ. So hear the declaration of His return. We see the Lord's pledge. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. I was talking to a lady before church this morning. One of her family members had passed, and she was able to talk with him. And he was talking about that mansion that God was preparing for them. Brother Mike, you remember one time before Butler Mill burned down in Alabama, we went there and had lunch, and you looked behind the counter, and you seen an old man with a felt hat a little granny woman with an apron on, you said something to me that I remember all my life. You said, "Preacher, heaven meant something to that generation." You see, we all live in mansions here. Mansions don't get us excited. But let me tell you what better gets you excited. That's the Lord Savior Jesus Christ that hung on an old rugged cross and died for your sin and my sin. And He's soon to come back. And oh, when we get to see Him. Our forefathers. I put a picture out yesterday on the computer. My grandfather and dad and his siblings, probably in the late 50s in Tennessee. See, Brother Jake, heaven, the mansion, meant something to that generation. Mansion don't get you stirred up much, but Jesus better get you stirred up. God, you see how good God's been to us? We live in a culture now where a mansion don't even get our attention. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying we live in a generation that's been mighty spoiled. God's been good to us. The Lord said He's soon to return. And so this morning, this declaration of His return, the Lord's pledge, then the Lord's parable. You say, Brother Ken, what do you mean about the declaration of His return? Look at Matthew 25, verse 1. About done preaching this morning. The declaration of His return, the Lord's pledge. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." The Lord's parable. Matthew 25, 1. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins. Took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And here's the thought. And they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" The declaration of His return. We see His pledge, we see His parable, and we see His promise. You see, I hear this a lot of times, a preacher. "I'll accept the Lord later. I'm a good person. Preacher, I really don't do much." I had a family member one time on his deathbed. Brother David, God really burdened me about it. I called. He said, "Hey, Ken, how are you?" I said, "Well, I'm not doing too good. I'm really burdened about you." He said, "What are you talking about, son?" I said, "Well, I know you don't have long to live, and I want to ask you this. Have you ever been saved?" He said, "No." And this is what his words to me. He said, "Ken, I've never really done much wrong. But you know what the Bible teaches me? There's none good. No, not one." The most religious man in the Bible came to Jesus by night. He said, "Rabboni, we know thou art a master come from God, for no man can do these things lest God be with him." And Jesus turned around and told Nicodemus, He said, "You must be born again." You see, the Bible teaches us to get ready. Well, preacher, how do I get ready? First of all, you've got to realize you're a sinner. Secondly, you've got to realize that Jesus is the Savior. Then thirdly, you must be willing to accept Him in your heart and repent of your sins and follow Christ. I believe with all my heart. I believe repentance is essential in salvation. What is repentance? It means turning around. The Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become anew." Let me tell you something. When you get saved, And if you ever get saved, there'll be a change happen in your life. I realize sanctification is a process. But you hear this old country preacher and you hear this old country preacher well. The Bible says you must be born again. The declaration of His return. You know, Miss Sherry, I want you to come play something for me this morning. I'd just like for you to play a verse of a song today. And I want to read this last scripture, 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Declaration of His return. We've seen the Lord's pledge, the Lord's parable, but the Lord's promise. You know what He says? He said, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or dead, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Wouldn't that be awful? To be without Christ and have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep, or will not go before them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven. Let me tell you, He's coming from the eastern sky. That's what Matthew 24 says. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, those that are saved, shall rise first. Then we which are alive spiritually, by the Spirit of God, and remain alive physically, shall be caught up together with them. With them. Yeah, those that have died before us are going to rise with them in the clouds. Watch this, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now here's an amazing passage. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. You see, when our loved ones die, it's not goodbye. If they're saved and we're saved, it's I'll see you soon. Miss Sherry, would you play this morning? A mother looked out the window and looked for her son. Wondered why he was tarrying. Do you ever think about getting saved? You ever pondered this thought? If your husband or wife is saved and you're not, the Lord returns, you're not going. You ever think about those things? You ever think about mom and daddy, your children that are saved or safe? The Lord returns, we're called out of this place and you're left. You ever thought about that? Preacher, you've been reading too many books. No, I've been reading my Bible. The Lord's coming. And by the way, till He comes, I want to be found doing what this Bible says to be doing. Watching. Working. Witnessing. The Lord's been good to me. What about you? I mean, the Lord's been so good to me. I bless Him. I'm so glad God allowed me to meet His Son. What a day. Somebody asked me this week, said, Preacher, what kind of day was that to meet with the Vice President? Nothing like the day I met Him. What you need this morning? Ten other thought in that passage, she needed something. Want to know why he wasn't there yet. Did you know this Bible says if you'd come to Christ He would have no wise cast you out. You think you're really going to heaven just because you're a good person? Are you kidding me? You're going to gamble and take a chance and you see the signs of the times? You can realize this thing is winding down and you don't put an urgency in your spirit? You better get saved. You said, "Preacher, you're trying to scare me." No, I'm just reading the Bible to you and telling you how it is this morning. Jesus is coming. And God loves you so much, He sent His Son for you. That's an amazing thing to me. God sent His Son. That's an amazing. Is there anybody in this building would give their child for sinners? Y'all love your children. I love mine, my grandchildren. I wouldn't give my grandchildren for anybody. I would give me for them. But God loved you and me enough, He gave His Son. That's an amazing thing to me. Oh, preacher, you don't need to talk about that and upset nobody. Somebody better be telling somebody the truth. There's a heaven to gain. There's a hell to shun. You don't gamble with your soul. You don't gamble with eternity. Jesus loves you this morning.